Right now, it's about 9 o'clock in the morning, and the port resembles a war zone or bomb site. Much of what we can see, as the site still smoulders, is what remains of buildings and containers at the seaport, where helicopters have spent much of the night and morning putting out fires. We can see roofs have been blown off there, and bits of wood scattered and buildings just totally collapsed. It was an explosion so massive, it registered on the Richter scale, the measure used to quantify the force of earthquakes. In news just to hand, the death toll has now risen to 100 and at least 4,000 people are injured. As we go to air, rescuers are still searching for survivors amongst the rubble of fallen buildings. It is believed thousands of tonnes of ammonium nitrate, which had been stored at a warehouse at this port, exploded, ripping through nearby residential neighbourhoods, flattening buildings, tossing cars into the air and shattering glass for kilometres. We can see smoke in the live picture still wafting away from that site, which indeed does look like a bomb has hit. An initial smaller explosion appears to have drawn curious onlookers closer to the site before the second catastrophic blast. Middle East correspondent for The Independent, Belle True, lives in Beirut. I spoke to her a little earlier and she described what happened in the city that is already reeling from an economic crisis and a surge in coronavirus cases.
There was the initial first explosion in the port area, where people were basically showing videos of a large cloud coming out from by the sort of seafront with what looked like some kind of maybe fireworks going off in the middle of it. And a lot of people actually ended up sort of basically walking closer towards the explosion, trying to work out what was going on. And then there was, shortly after that, an enormous explosion, something that I had never heard. And I've been covering conflict and wars and suicide bombings for a decade now. This was an explosion of a magnitude that I've never witnessed before. It was so huge. I was actually just outside of Beirut at the time, and it still knocked me to my knees up on the mountainside. Looking at the footage taken by people that was basically right next to it, it kind of, the shock waves rolled throughout the city, shattering everything in its path, ripping up parts of the streets, obviously destroying any of the buildings immediately in the surrounding of this epicenter, but also causing damage up to sort of 15K away from the centre of the blast. Now, what caused it, we haven't quite got a full confirmation yet from the Lebanese authorities. Of course, people at the beginning were concerned that this might have been an attack, that this might have been actually the start of a war because of tensions rising between basically Hezbollah here in Lebanon and Israel. But from what we can tell, from what the security forces have been saying and what the Lebanese authorities have been saying, is it looks like there may have been a small explosion that was the first one in a fireworks depot, perhaps, which then ignited maybe up to 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate, which is what caused that extraordinary blast that wreaked so much havoc across the city.
I want to talk more about the cause in a little bit, but in terms of the explosion, some people have likened it to an earthquake. Is there any measure of the magnitude of it?
Well, we're still trying to get confirmation on that yet. But it was, according to Germany's Geosciences Center, GFZ, it was struck with the force of a 3.5 magnitude earthquake. So we are really talking about something that felt like an earthquake. Like the ground was moving, the explosions were huge, people's windows were blown out. I mean, in my own flat, which is about a kilometer from the epicenter of the blast, we're not just talking about blown out windows and doors being blown open. We're talking about my windows, which have steel or at least metal frames and steel electric shutters being ripped out from the wall and thrown across the room. That was the level of the sort of strength of the blast. Some buildings came to the ground and sort of other buildings had, you know, their balconies ripped off. So, I mean, as I said, we're talking about something that could be likened to an earthquake with the combined factor of these shock waves basically ripping open holes in buildings in the vicinity.
And so a large number of people injured and also killed. What kind of injuries did people sustain? And also, how did the hospitals cope here?
Well, it was quite staggering. So I made my way to the hospitals in my local area, which was one of the worst hit places because of it's very, very close, as I said, to the epicenter of the blast. And the hospitals themselves were hit. So my local hospital, I mean, the inside of the emergency department was basically rubble. The staff who had survived were trying to pull out wounded and injured medics as well as patients. I spoke to one hospital orderly who was just 21 years old, who had gone to the ICU unit and said that there were people on ventilators pinned underneath doors, bits of building, masonry, windows. So they were trying to struggle with that from inside the hospitals whilst there were injuries flooding in from all around the area. So they had to set up a kind of makeshift, basically, emergency room in the hospital car park, which until the blast was actually hosting the drive-through coronavirus main testing facility in this area. They also had, of course, coronavirus patients that they tried to separate from those being injured. It was absolute chaos because you had the hospitals themselves suffering from the blast. You know, the staff members trying to get out of the rubble, trying to pull patients from without the rubble, trying to deal with patients flooding in from the surrounding area. There was, of course, no power. I mean, Lebanon's been suffering from massive power outages anyway over the last few weeks. But any generators that were operating, some of them were hit by the blast. So they were literally tending to patients using their mobile phone lights in the car park of what was a drive-through coronavirus facility testing area, with coronavirus patients that were being evacuated from inside the rubble of the house of the hospitals. And it was really staggering what people were trying to do with basically no resources amid just piles of shattered glass, fallen masonry, twisted metal, just trying to deal with an extraordinary number of wounded, which numbered in their thousands.
Belle, I know you've had very little sleep and you were up very late. I just wondered, what's the state of the situation with emergency services? Are they going through rubble? Is it anticipated that there are any survivors to be found? Or what's happening at the site now?
Well, at the moment, the death toll of right now, as I'm speaking to you, is 78 dead and nearly 4,000 injured. There are lots and lots of missing people. So actually, someone has set up an Instagram account that is basically collating all the tweets and pleas for help with photographs of those who are missing to try and find them, because we don't know whether they're just injured and not properly documented in hospitals, or whether they're still under the rubble, or whether they've just been eviscerated because the blast was so huge, especially those port workers who were working very close to the warehouse that was hit. So at the moment, you know, I imagine they will still be trying to pull people out from underneath the destroyed rubble in the immediate vicinity. They will also be trying to identify bodies in morgues and those who are in critical care in the various different hospitals across the country, because the hospitals in Beirut were overwhelmed pretty quickly. The Lebanese Red Cross were saying they were taking people as far as Tripoli, which is, you know, a few hours' drive north of Beirut. And at the same time, as I said, people were being treated in the car parks of the hospitals, which were basically left, you know, pretty destroyed. So I think today is going to be a horrible day of people whose loved ones are missing, trying to find out what happened to them. At the same time, as the security services still digging through what it remains of Beirut port, whilst dealing with just sort of multitude of disasters at the same time.
You've talked about the potential cause, this store of ammonium nitrate. Who is responsible for having left it there for a number of years, and what's happening about that?
Well, that I think is going to be the million-dollar question here for the Lebanese people, who have really been through hell over the last few months. I mean, I've witnessed this country come to its knees because of a financial collapse that is rooted in corruption and decades of mismanagement that has seen almost hyperinflation, food prices double, sometimes triple, the currency collapse, as well as these massive power outages because of fuel shortages. There was already quite a lot of anger directed at the officials and the government for not handling the country properly. Now, right now, an investigation is underway The Lebanese Prime Minister and Lebanese President have separately all said that those who are responsible will be held to account. But given the state of the country, given the fact that mismanagement and corruption has been behind so many of Lebanon's woes, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the reason why this warehouse of explosives was allowed to just basically sit there like a ticking bomb.
And that was Middle East correspondent for The Independent, Bal True, speaking from Beirut. And since I spoke to her earlier, the death toll has now been revised upwards to 100.